No, the next day the teacher made me stand up and tell everybody that I lied. And then she asked the whole class, who here likes Tim? And even people that didn't like me had to put their hands up. It was very, I'm over it.
Yeah, it sounds like
some of the saddest shit I've ever heard. That's awful.
Yeah.
Return of the Dangle King, man.
Oh, wow.
Is that a...
Don't worry. They're both all gender.
Are we all gender?
Nowadays, beer is fruitier.
I've been drinking beer for 40 years, and I never wished once that it tasted more like fruit.
I think we're all excited for the brand new King of the Hill. I'm not binge-watching it because I want to savor it. How many episodes in total are there? Do you guys know? Does anybody know?
Are there 10?
There's 10.
Ten.
I've watched so, 8.
I've watched 2. So, Lizzie, I think you've watched the most, unless Dustin has watched all of them.
No, I've only watched 1.5.
Yeah, I only watched 1.
So far, I've watched 2. The second one is my favorite episode. The second episode felt more like an actual King of the Hill episode than the first one did. And I get it, you have to reestablish the characters, and you have to bring Peggy and Hank back from Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia!
That's good.
Thanks.
That was a good Peggy. And, you know, establish what Bobby's doing. My favorite part of the first episode was, can anybody guess?
Bobby getting laid.
Yeah. No, that would, oh, by the way, that girl that we all follow on TikTok who does all the updates about King of the Hill, she thinks that maybe was an homage to her, which would be cool. Yeah. And I could see that. I thought she looked a little bit like Peggy, and I think maybe Bobby will end up dating her. She looks just like Peggy to me.
That's true.
Like a young, but no, it was Bill.
Bill.
Yeah, I always loved Bill's character, and the fact that he's trapped in his house, and he's got that long beard, and he called the window
the wall hole.
Is that Hank? I used to be able to do all of them. I can't do them anymore.
And was this how many episodes did Johnny Hardwick do before he passed?
Seven?
I thought it was one.
Yeah, I think he's in 7 episodes, and he didn't do all the dialogue. So in the first episode, there's moments, and in all of them, I think there's going to be moments where it's him doing some of the voice and Toby Huss doing the other parts. And
I thought it sounded perfect. I was like, that's got to still be Johnny Hardwick doing it.
Yeah.
Well, people were fooled. People are thinking that the stuff Toby Huss did is the actual Johnny Hardwick stuff. So it's weird. But it wasn't that distracting to me, even though I knew. I was just more excited to see everybody back.
That didn't bother me at all, but people online are...
Being people online?
Yes, yeah. And they're like, oh, it's not the same, and he does a horrible... And then they're like, well, that was the original guy's voice that you're complaining about.
Right. And Toby Huss, they took away Han from him because you have to have an Asian-American or an Asian person doing the voice, and it's no longer him. And that was weird because I remember he was getting his haircut one time at Mary Todd when I was working there. So this was years ago. And I recognized him. And when he was checking out, I said, how you doing, hillbilly? And he looked at me and he's like, oh, and then I said, yeah, I do a podcast, a pop culture show. I'd love to have you on. And then he never came back to the barber shop. So I guess he didn't want to be gone. I love that guy's voices, though. And who else did he do on the show? He did Hank's boss, right?
Did he?
I think so. Mr. Strickland. He does a couple voices on... Or maybe just one voice on the Venture Brothers. But love Toby Huss. Think he's a great guy. I don't want to spoil anything, but like I said, the second episode really felt like an old school King of the Hill episode. The father and the son and all the great jokes, the beer stuff that was going on. But again, we're not going to... I'm sure many people have watched all of them more than once. But who has time? And again, I want to savor them. I don't want to go through all of them at one time. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm just on the second episode. I'll probably watch 3 and 4 and 5 this weekend just to get it taken care of. But who posted this Nerdist article?
I did.
So what are some of these Easter eggs and callbacks you're talking about? Obviously, before we get to that, there are people missing. Obviously, Luann is gone and Lucky, of course, because they passed on. I don't think they've addressed them. I don't know if they're going to. I'm sure they will.
See a picture of them in the background. Like on the wall or something like that.
It was kind of odd to see John Redcorn on the first episode.
Yeah.
And speaking.
So when Nancy Gribble walks in with John Redcorn, they're doing some sort of Arlen real estate show. And did you see the comments in the chat?
Yeah.
He's tapping that.
Yeah. And then she slammed the computer. She
quickly slammed the,
Peggy
the
did.
Laptop.
So what are some of these Easter eggs that we should be looking for, according to?
Yeah, like Luann and Lucky are shown in a photo.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some spoilers in that, isn't
they
there?
They go to the Megalomart.
Oh, the Megalomart where you see the cutout of Chuck Mangione and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we not want to spoil all this stuff? Or
So it goes deeper into the season for some of these.
Well, they,
it's really hard for me not to talk about it, but you guys have only watched two episodes.
The Iron Chef thing when they coaxed Bobby over to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a kind of a callback because he used to do the Iron Chef with a little puppet.
I do like that it's a Korean? No, is it Japanese or Korean?
Japanese. Korean. Japanese German. Sorry.
Yeah, fusion. That's great.
Yeah, it showed him like slowly slicing fish and then flipping over big kielbasas.
Yeah. Grill.
I've seen people online because they have to talk about it. They have to feed that machine, that social media machine, the TikTok and everything. And they're saying that, Hank is woke now. And I didn't see that at all. And I noticed things like that. But they're adapting to the United States and they've been living in Saudi Arabia for a long time. So
in a place that's designed to mimic what he remembered America being like.
Right.
It's like a picturesque American neighborhood.
Yeah.
But King of the Hill, you have to trust that it's Mike Judge. Same thing with South Park, that people who love MAGA, they're being mean about Trump. Well, first of all, they're satirists and they make fun of everybody and they make fun of whoever is in power. And that's what they're doing. But more than anything, who's making that show? It's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. So,
With Mike Judge, I mean, he created Idiocracy, which, that's become so much more prevalent than when it was made.
I'm the Secretary of State, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
If you grew up, or if you have been an adult for your entire life while these shows are on, which all of us have, just give it a break. You know, if you like that stuff, fine. You know, one of the things I hate is, well, South Park hasn't been funny since season 6. Oh, what are you talking about? That show is still funny.
I think Arlen had become more woke while they were gone and had reacted to the wokeness.
Yes.
But I don't think he became woke.
No.
And he also, they had that real nice scene toward the end of the first episode where he's just talking to people outside of the Megalomart, which I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a nice scene.
Yep. Yeah. Getting the discount from the contractor and offering him a cookie.
Sharing the cookies with him. Yeah.
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 But the unisex bathrooms and stuff, Hank was like, he wouldn't go in either one.
He didn't know which one.
He refused. Wasn't sure.
Yeah. Like,
peeing forever on the airplane.
Yeah.
No, I think Mike Judge, I think he does a great job of balancing everything out as far as woke, not woke, whatever.
And I'm sure a lot of it has to be inside jokes about how Texas itself has changed.
Sure.
In 12 years.
So it got me thinking, are there any shows that we loved that haven't been scheduled for? This isn't a reboot. What do they call this? It's not a reboot. It's not a
revival.
Yeah, it's
revival.
A reprise.
Yeah. Reprise, the revival. Continuation, if you will. Shows that we think would benefit from something like this, or something that we really like in how we would do it. And I printed it out before I saw all the stuff you guys wrote, so I'll just do mine first. But I thought this a while ago, that you could bring back an element of The Sopranos if you focused on Meadow, where she's a high-powered New York attorney, or a defense attorney, perhaps. And she defends, you know, mob guys and stuff like that. And AJ is sort of her investigator and fixer. He never really learned to do anything. As far as the mob family goes, I would see that it's probably Benny that runs it. Do you remember Benny?
Yeah.
I mean, he's busy right now because he's in Tulsa, but he could come back.
Yeah,
he could run the family. I think Syl probably came out of the coma and he's alive and retired and still doing well. And Carm lives in Naples with Furio. He finally, you know, Furio found out that Tony eventually died. I don't think Tony died in that in Holston's. I think that he probably just died of natural causes. Or, natural cause. Or got, you know, shot later. I don't know. But I think there's something there that they could do. I mean, now that Blue Bloods is over, what's Chase doing? Get on it, Chase.
Married with Children would be an interesting one if you had the original cast. I imagine Bundy or Al in a retirement home, like fighting the norms, like wokeness and everything. Bud's like a podcast bro.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own podcast, and Kelly's running an OnlyFans empire. With
like she's the boss of it. She runs something.
Yeah, she finds that. Yeah, she's kind of like a madam. She's like,
well, what's Peggy girls. Doing?
Peggy's living her life up with Al in the home. She's
It's
her house. Yeah.
And you know, Amanda Bierce isn't going to be on it because they don't like each other.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think I could see that. And that's a good plot point. See, you producers out there in Hollywood looking for content, you know, milking a dead horse, bring it back to life. Here you go.
Nobody likes milking a dead horse.
Mm-mm.
What about beating a dead horse, though?
No, that's different. Well, you know.
How about flipping
chicken and egg kind of thing?
Yeah.
What's the other? Oh, the Larry Sanders Show.
Now, I saw this one. How the hell are you going to do that? He's dead.
Well, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, you could, I mean.
And Artie's dead, too.
Yeah.
What about beating a dead horse?
Yeah. But having him, and it would really kind of be true to having those people pushed into podcasts now, like YouTube channel hosts, and trying to just fit in where they were and use the same cachet that they would try to, you know, that they would when they
could
were.
Could you like it? Could you like our video? Could you like it and subscribe? And Hank?
Just make Thank it you. So John Stewart took over the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how you would do Larry Sanders Show when, you know, Artie and Larry are dead. Would it still be called the Larry Sanders Show, or would it be like just a derivative or something?
Yeah, just using those kind of personalities as a starting off point, that those kind of people that would be still alive now that would be able to handle it, or just go double down and just AI them.
Sure. Okay, I'm down with that, but you got to have good writers.
Yeah.
So Apatow and those guys who wrote the show. I'm listening to Letterman's biography. You have that, don't you, Jeff? Did you read it?
No.
It came out after he retired.
Yeah, okay.
Not an autobiography, but it's a biography. So I'm learning a lot of stuff I didn't know about, of course, which is why last week I was watching Gong Show episodes with him and seeing how bored he was. But it now, because I've been listening to this audiobook, my TikTok feed is just all old Letterman stuff and Chris Elliott stuff. And that scene from Cabin Boy, where you want to buy a monkey?
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of those Evans on Letterman too, like when he dressed up like Paul and took his place over at the keyboard. Yeah, that was hilarious. He didn't do a bad Paul at all, really.
Or the Barry White, go camping with Barry White. Do you remember that? That's 83. Yeah. And that episode, I watched almost all of that episode on YouTube the other night. And it was the first network appearance of Bobcat. And he introduces him, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Goldthwait. And he comes out and he's got the spiked hair and, you know, the neckerchief and the, you know, the old look. He's doing that whole screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's really great to be here. Thank you. And that just goes on forever. But the audience really dug it. And I think Dave did, too. Obviously, he wouldn't have been on the show. But that was so long ago, 42 years ago.
I thought Slider should come back. Everybody's still alive except for Kari Wuhrer.
They never finished that show. That was a cool show. Yeah. I loved Sliders. Was that on right before X-Files on Friday nights?
Yeah.
I was living by myself in Pennsylvania. So all I did pretty much was watch TV. And it had been years since I'd watched TV. So I was like, oh, Saturday Night Live's good again. And the show, The X-Files, everybody talks about, I like it. And but Sliders was really cool. Did y'all watch that? Did you watch that, Lizzie?
I did, yeah.
I've never seen it. I've never heard of it.
It was a show about these guys that made little burgers. And they would use these little burgers to travel through time. Or they would go to parallel universes.
No, you're teasing me, right?
Yes, but it was good. They slid into parallel universes, but there weren't any burgers involved.
Yeah.
No, Kyrie Wars, not that. I don't know who I'm thinking of. Who's the chick in the White Snake video?
Tawny Katane?
Tawny Katane, yeah, she died.
Nuh-uh.
What? Yeah, she died like 2 years ago.
That's what I'm thinking of.
4 years ago.
Was it four? God. Yeah.
Man, her face died like 10 years before that.
Kari Ware still alive, so they could totally do a whole Sliders reboot with everybody.
Jerry O'Connell, Sabrina Lloyd, who I had a major crush on when that show aired. John Rhys-Davies still alive. Clivant Derricks. Who else? Oh, these other people. They're like, yeah, please do it.
Yeah.
Please. We could use the money. Any others?
That would be a good one.
I would reboot Seventh Heaven. That would be... It's like I don't know, you guys have probably never watched it.
Well, yeah,
but it's the most like unhinged, whitest white people storylines that you'll ever get each episode.
I don't think that guy's gonna get out of jail.
The dad would be in jail.
Yeah, for sure. The
Stephen Collins. Preacher.
Yeah. So I don't know if she'd be a single mom or remarried, but I would love to have those hilarious storylines back. They were so serious about them that it was so funny.
Jessica Biel, she needs a... Well, she works quite a bit. Yeah. Catherine Hicks, I always liked her.
Yeah, I did too.
My girl who has the lips like this, Mary.
Yeah.
Beverly Mitchell, she's got the...
Yes! Yeah,
she got that flat face. Flat
sort of Reba with an underbite.
I had Freaks and Geeks. 25 years later, the geeks are burnout software developers, and the freaks are barely hanging on with their Gen Z kids who want nothing to do with their trauma bonding nostalgia.
So would it be the mid 2000s when it would be 25 years after that show aired, or like 2010?
It'd be like 2010, yeah.
2010, okay.
They can't afford to pay all those people now.
Not now.
Right, no. No. Maybe Loudon Wainwright III, he might be available.
Yeah. No Joe Flaherty.
No.
True.
And no mom, too. She died, too.
Oh, wow.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any others. I've been stuck now in a wire hole. But you can't read the wire.
I'm looking forward to the Scrubs coming back with the original.
That's an original, right? And they're picking up where they left off?
There was a season that they weren't on, so maybe that's going to become not part of the canon now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think it's going to be good. And I'm totally looking forward to the Malcolm in the Middle.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I loved Malcolm in the Middle. I got punked the other day on TikTok. Some guy did a video about this supposed series, Sanford and Son reboot, with Eddie Murphy as Fred Sanford and Donald Glover as Lamont. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then it's fake.
Yeah. Sucks when that happens.
I know.
You're like really excited about something. You're like, right. It's got to be real.
You keep liking those octopuses jumping on the trampoline video. So you're getting all the
bunny one got me for like a minute. I was so embarrassed. I like showed Jones. I was like, look at these bunnies jumping on the trampoline. And then the next day I was like, I was gotten.
Yeah, they have bear, octopuses and deer and sharks.
The bear got me.
A shark.
I saw one today that was a dragon, and I posted, finally, a real one.
He wants to take me to lunch, he wants to take me to dinner, he wants to take me dancing. And every time I say no, he says, there's yes in my eyes. Do you see yes in there anywhere?
No. I'll speak to him.
I'd do anything if you could get him off my back.
Hey, rest in peace to Lonnie Anderson. Jeff and I got to meet her a couple years ago. Do you remember when that was? I couldn't find the pictures. 14, or was it after we started doing Labyrinth?
No, I think it was before.
Oh, man, she died 2 days before her birthday.
Yeah. Her 80th birthday.
Yeah.
She and Howard Hessman were the co-chairs or whatever of DragonCon. And I remember I got them both to sign a promo picture from WKRP. And I remember telling Howard Hessman, I said, yeah, you're one of the reasons I got into radio. And he went, I am so sorry. But she was sweet as could be.
Yeah.
And I had to look up, I know one other thing she was in besides WKRP, and that was Stroker Ace, that NASCAR movie with Burt Reynolds, where he's a NASCAR driver. And she's, you know, they were married, so she was in the movie. And they shot that in Atlanta.
Yep.
stroke or ace, but I was hard pressed to think, you know, except for guest appearances and television movies and stuff. I thought she had done another sitcom that lasted for a while, but she didn't.
It was cool though. Knowing that when they went to make WKRP and they wanted her originally, she was, you know, just a ditzy secretary and they, you mm-hmm. know, just there for her looks. But she said, you know, how about we make me the smartest person in the room?
Yes.
And not get coffee and not do anything to be completely the opposite. And she took that gamble and they did. And it was so successful. It was very progressive, especially for the time.
Yeah, Jan was kind of scatterbrained. And now that I'm older and I look back, I'm like, she's the hotter one. Same with Gilligan's Island. You look back and Marianne was the hotter one.
What?
Wait, think. Oh, come on. Marianne's hotter than Ginger.
Lovey was the hot one.
Oh, that's right. I forget. Oh, Lovey, your shaggy old wrinkled brush. You're just turning Gilligan on. That was gross. Yeah, so I shouldn't have woven that into the tribute to Bonnie Anderson. But we will, you know, I want to say we'll miss her, but I mean, I don't know. I loved her character on WKRP. Yeah. I still watch it if I see it someplace.
There's Superman did that with the blonde, with one of Lex's girlfriends in the original Christopher Reeves movies.
Ms. Tessmacher.
She acts dumb, but she's the smartest person there. And then they took that page out of that book for the new Superman as well.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Is there a Miss Tessmacher in this movie?
Yeah. And she plays ditzy, but she's really smart.
When is it going to stream? Because that's when I'll be able to watch it. Yeah, I'm like three movies I want to watch.
Christmas
that,
or something? Before.
I would think Thanksgiving, probably the next holiday season.
I mean, we can't even talk about it because I haven't seen it and I don't want it spoiled, but how many of you guys watch Naked Gun?
I haven't yet, but I really want to.
I'm not going to watch it.
Why?
Because David Zucker wasn't allowed to be involved.
I mean, Zucker is eating his own words in a way, too.
Why?
He was posting that maybe he was a little too aggressive with it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Which I thought he was. I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it. It's his, you know, he's got a very big repertoire. I mean, he should have been involved somehow. Yeah. But I think when it comes to not when being involved means okay, I'm in charge, that's when it's a clash of personalities, and not, you know, that's not working with someone to make something, that's people working under him to make
being
what
a tyrant
he wants. Which, you know, it's old Hollywood meeting new Hollywood, so
that's a streamer for me.
Yeah, it's not something I can take Al to the theaters and see, that's for sure.
No. I'm funny, you know, I'm really good at making lists. And Liam Neeson comes in and goes, hey, I want to do comedy and improv, and I'm very funny. And he makes that joke, I'm good at making lists. That's why I was chosen for Schindler's List. And they think he's making a joke. I wasn't being funny there.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
We interrupt programming to bring you this breaking news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring you this bulletin.
Here's some stories that we've been following at the Radio Labyrinth news desk.
Jeff, what is this about Matt Rife is going to die soon?
He bought the house that the people that own Annabelle,
the Warrens,
lived, and he is now the caretaker for the doll.
Okay.
And everything else they have in there too, right?
The whole
vault.
The actual doll that killed that guy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. So, will it make him funny?
No. I put comedian Matt Rife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't notice that.
Handsome, very handsome guy. I don't think he's very funny.
Hey, he's good with crowd work.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Real big into like ghost hunting and everything. And he's his partner, who went in with him to buy the Warrens estate, has his own YouTube ghost channel. So, I mean, it was definitely, you know, bought for that in mind. I mean, they're going to mine everything they can.
He's going to treat it like you can rent it.
Like an
Airbnb. Rent it out. You can rent the house out and stay there.
A scare B&B.
Yeah.
But yeah, ooh. But ooh. I did see one of the grandchildren speak out, and he was like, I'm not, me and my family are at odds. I don't agree with how they handled my grandparents' estate, and nothing against Matt Rife, but now I'm seeing anything that felt like a home, like a childhood home, being exploited.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or you can stay at the Poltergeist house now, too. It's like an Airbnb now. The okay. house that they,
yeah, and
they
she spent,
Poltergeist in.
Yeah, she spent like $100,000 to go back in and make it exactly photo accurate to the movie. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So don't look under the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there going to be bodies bobbing up and down?
Yeah, say, who wants to swim in the pool? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mud-filled pool.
Yeah. Right, with dead bodies and then the TV, you get sucked into it all the time. And you have to
go in the bathroom and rip your face off in the mirror. Yeah,
that was the worst scene in that movie.
I don't know if that was worse or the fact that the dude was just ransacking their refrigerator while he was hanging out in their house.
Yeah.
Crossover, children. All are welcome.
There's a zoo in Denmark.
I saw this story.
And I guess they're really, really struggling to feed all of the large cats and big carnivores.
Because of tariffs? Food. Is that why? The tariffs? I'm sorry. I'll send over all the dog food.
So what they've done is put out a request to the public to bring in your small pets. So
now, are they dead? Are these pets that are going to die?
That was what everyone wanted clarification on, was like, but even if they if they're dead, okay. I mean, I get that. This should be like, you know, chickens or whatever.
Will they eat dead?
Well, they're euthanizing them, right?
Well, no, that's the part. They would, I mean, most of the cats, they don't. They
want to eat them live.
They want to eat them live.
Yeah. Mm.
So imagine that you have your dog for, you know, 12 to 15 years, and the last 2 seconds of its life is ripped apart
by a lion.
Yeah.
I love you
My
so
cats
much,
are already on the way. What's the address?
Yes. Just put them in a box and ship them over to Denmark.
Sick of them.
Right. Zoo.
Right. Bone appetite.
Zoo, Denmark Zoo, put a stamp on it. If it doesn't get there, it doesn't get there. But
I want everybody to take the dead pets and send them to Denmark.
No, yeah, you send your live pets, right?
Yes, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's just that's the whole
They're
concept.
Also looking for horses, I read.
Yeah.
But they have to be under a certain size.
Send your ponies to the Denmark Zoo. Yeah.
You're sick of that Shetland pony you just bought for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I had in third grade finally died. That was too late to send. Oh, I said I had it.
I was going to say, did you really have a pony in third grade?
No,
he had one. Like, I had a four-wheeler with missile launchers on it.
Yes.
Gotcha.
When I was in third grade, and I'll make this really short because I've told the story before, I would lie during show and tell. In one of the show and tells, I said I had a Shetland pony, and my grandpa let me keep it in the backyard. And then the other lie was that after Three Mile Island, my grandparents took me to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where I got to meet the president. And so the teacher called my mom, and my mom said, no, that never happened.
And, your mom didn't back you up?
No. In fact, she was mad because I had embarrassed her.
Oh, I would have been like, yes, that absolutely did happen.
Yes. No, the next day, the teacher made me stand up and tell everybody that I lied. And then she asked the whole class, who here likes Tim? And even people that didn't like me had to put their hands up. It was very, I'm over it.
Yeah, it sounds
some
like
of the saddest shit I've ever heard. That's awful.
Yeah, I'm over it, though. But you know what? At the end of the day, I didn't have a cluster of face moles like the teacher did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She got her karma.
My story. So last night, I start getting texts from friends. Hey, fucking finally, Howard Stern's getting canceled, Mr. Woke Broadcaster. I'm glad to see him go, and blah, 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 blah. Now, first of all, I don't listen to the show. I haven't listened to the show for years. The only reason I stopped listening to the show is because I found out that he banned Gilbert Gottfried from coming on the show, and that pissed me off. I don't care that he didn't like Trump or talked about it every day, and then after Trump won this time around, he stopped talking about him. I don't care about that. It doesn't shock me. But I got mad that he wouldn't have Gilbert on anymore. And when I did listen, it sounded like the old Stern show, but just without the misogyny or a lot of the humor, because the people that fed the humor to that show weren't on it anymore, save a couple of people. So, but the stories are going around last night. Stern is canceled. Stern is canceled. He's done. They're not going to blah, blah, blah. And people are saying that was definite. So what was it? It was clickbait, engagement farming nonsense. And I went and specifically looked because I wasn't going to interact until I found out for sure. And the truth is there's no deal. a staffer, or according to sources, said that they're not going to reach a deal.
But I don't think Sirius has any money anymore.
They do. They're actually profitable. They have a better profit margin or whatever than a lot of other things do. Terrestrial radio, certain companies.
Well, but they have subscribers. That's why.
They have subscribers and advertisers.
Yeah.
But Stern is 71 years old. He takes summers off. He does three shows a week. Robin is very ill. She keeps battling her cancer. She's older, too. You know, there's a lot of staffers employed at that show. It's not ridiculous to think that he's not going to get another $150 or whatever million-dollar contract, or that he even wants to. So what I think is going to happen is he'll keep his channels where they'll continuously rebroadcast the old shows and specials and interviews, and every once in a while, Howard will come on and do a live thing. And that, to me, sounds reasonable for a guy of his age who has a beautiful younger wife and lives in Florida and wants to just retire, but still be connected. So he'll still interview people and stuff. I think that is a serviceable deal. And I think that the days of him doing the Daily Show have been over for years. So I'm not knocking.
He hopped on and did a two-hour interview with the dude from Metallica.
Exactly.
And said that they were coming back
right
at the end of the summer.
Right, right.
So in a sense, what you're saying is, after Metallica, I'm coming back, right? That's what it is, right? Is that what it is? So did your father molest you, James Hetfield? Is that why you picked up the guitar and started playing speed metal? Yeah, I love Metallica. But you know, I also love Adele. Isn't she great? Isn't she great, Robin? Isn't Adele?
I have to cheat to do his impression. But he cheats too because he messes with his voice with his microphone. But listen, how could you hate somebody that gave you, I don't know, 40 years of entertainment, 35 years of entertainment,
yeah,
just because he doesn't vote the same way you do? I don't know. Politics.
And salami on an ass, or was it bologna?
Look at the bologna on her ass, Robin. Isn't that great? So, Madam Vice President, what is it about you that people like? Why are you, can you take off your top? Show us what Doug gets to see every night when he snuggles up to you next to you in bed. Let's see it. Now, your stepdaughter is a hideous beast, but you're beautiful. You're still beautiful. Let me lick your neck wrinkles.
That would have been old Stern. So anyway, so people are still today posting all these stories. And I got to share this with you. I follow, and he follows me, Stuttering John, who Melendez, who left the Howard Stern Show to go be the sidekick and announcer for the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And when Leno left, he got let go from NBC. And then when Leno came back after they screwed Conan over, they didn't bring John back. And so for years, he hasn't really been doing anything. He does horrible YouTube videos and stuff. And there's this cottage industry of former Stern staffers and then the Opie and Anthony people that constantly shit on him. Well, I like John. John made me laugh. I met him one time, but I was supposed to hang out with him one day, and I went to the Punchline. Not a very good set. Were you there, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of left. Sorry, I feel bad I let you sit there by yourself. But I left, and I was supposed to hang out and give John some weed. And like after a show, he's like, where are you? Where'd you go? Anyway, I was reading his Twitter today, and he posted, if Howard's getting canceled because of his political leanings, then we're not becoming a fascist nation. We are one. Then he tagged Howard and Gary in it. And I wrote back. I said, hey, John, why don't you? I said, John, please post an article that says this definitively. I said, Stern, when he leaves, obviously will go out on his own accord. And then I sent him a direct message because he follows me. And I said, I'm not attacking you. This is clickbait and a lot of people are talking about Stern retiring. And then he replied to me. Dude, there's tons of stories. Find him yourself. I'm not your bitch. But I wasn't attacking. I was just being nice to him. And then he went and said, so it pissed me off. I loved that show and I thought he was great. And like I said, I don't have any problem with him, but I'm not your bitch. But
what you're saying is that his stand-up was so bad that you were like, no weed for you.
My boss had gotten fired that day, Larry Wax, and that was the end of the regular guy show, and I was sort of stressed out.
Yeah.
But also, I didn't want to hang out with John.
Did you guys see Spidey's new suit?
No.
Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's out there. And there's also, like, and I don't know why Marvel's allowing this, but there's, like, a lot of behind-the-scenes shots that people are, because they're filming in Glasgow right now. They're also filming in New York. But they've made, but
not here in Atlanta where they filmed the last couple, because I don't know why. But
I don't know. I was surprised they're in Glasgow, and they made Glasgow, Scotland, look like a little New York.
How but could it be cheaper to
fly fans over? Are being able to take these amazing pictures of him swinging through the city in his new suit, and I'm just all kinds of excited about it. It looks like an awesome suit. It's the first suit that this Spidey has made himself.
Yeah, it's comic accurate too.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think, like, the first movies so far has been, like, his backstory. And now, like, he's not Spider-Boy anymore. Like, this is him.
No, this Spider-Man. Is him post-Avengers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's comic book accurate. Yep.
I didn't like them dragging him into the Avengers and being all a part of that.
You didn't like it?
No, and I still like the Tobey Maguire trilogy the best.
You think he's being sarcastic?
I like them all. I think, okay, Toby is my favorite Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Garfield's my favorite Spider-Man.
Why?
Like his joke. I don't know. It's like his jokes and his quips and the way his voice sounds. Like when he's in the suit fighting. Like he's my favorite Spider-Man. But Tom Holland to me, like, oh, it's the figs all the way.
You want a fig?
all the way around.
I'm trying to throw you off because I think you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, so, Michael Jackson was the best Spider-Man.
So Tom Holland all the way around is the best Spider-Man. He's the best balance of Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
I think as far as Spider-Man stories go and capturing the essence of Gen X and above older Spider-Man, I think those Sam Raimi movies are the closest where we're going to get.
I love them all.
As a Spider-Man comic book reader for decades, I guess I should just suck it up and watch the Tom Holland stuff.
If you haven't.
It's good, I'm telling you.
It is good.
It is good.
It's good. And we have tons. We have stacks and stacks of Spider-Man comic books. Like, we read that too.
I quit buying Spider-Man after the Clone Saga ended. I was invested in the Clone Saga in the 90s, and I was like, Jesus, when is this going to end? I was spending so much money on all these different books. And once it was over, I said, I'm done. Not buying anymore. And then I got rid of all my comic books. I probably needed to pay the rent.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
Snooze. Yeah, last week was Twisted Metal, which I watched first one.
Still is it good?
Good. Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't seen it yet.
I think, what's her name, though, that... chick from Scream is not on it anymore.
Oh, they replace her? Or she just
yeah.
There?
No, they replaced her. I think.
Oh, okay.
But it was good. And King of the Hill, which we talked about already, and The Pickup, that Eddie Murphy movie. I'm going to watch that tonight.
The trailer didn't look that bad. I saw
that looks
Dice
good.
Posted a trailer, and it was pretty decent looking for a little action heist movie kind of thing.
So that was last week. All right, this week Chief of War started. This Jason Momoa show about Hawaii. It's a lot of subtitles, but it's really good.
Isn't that
it uses that Moana language, right?
Yeah, it's like historically accurate. The show is good. I watched the first one. I'm gonna keep watching it. Wednesday came back on Netflix.
Yeah. The funniest thing about that show that I've seen is that Wendy's is doing a not.
Yeah, I had it yesterday. Yeah. It wasn't very good.
Well, it's Wendy's. That should have been your warning.
What's in it? What's in the not so happy?
They gave me 10 chicken nuggets, and then you're supposed to get two different sauces, and they gave me two of the same sauces, and they were both terrible. And the thing that's good, though, is the bloody frosty or whatever. It's like blueberry, cherry juice inside of frosty.
Now, is that natural? Because we're working closely now with the fast food restaurants. We've already gotten Steak and Shake to start using beef tallow, but if that's not... die, I'm going to be a little upset.
Real blood? No, it's not real blood.
We'll put methylene blue in it.
The frosty was good, but the rest of it was garbage. But I'll check that out. And Alien Earth starts on August 12th. I can't wait for that.
Yes.
2 years before the events of the first film. All right, I'm going to be watching that. Although I'll have to watch it on Hulu.
And Timothy Oliphant's playing a synthetic.
Nice.
Yeah, with white hair.
Yeah.
Synthetic cowboy.
Yeah, pretty much what it looks like.
All right, are we going to do our staff picks now?
Yeah, yours is sad.
Go ahead.
Why is mine sad?
I didn't know he wasn't able to perform anymore. That's sad.
Yeah, I watched some of the clips from it, and he's funny, but he's definitely needs to retire. Dom Irera's final stand-up special has been released. I do believe you can watch it on Amazon and a bunch of other platforms. But the jokes that I've watched are great. It's Dom Irera, but yeah, he's what, 75 years old, and he must have some neurological.
Yeah, he has MS, I think.
Yeah, so. Hey, he's still doing it, right?
It's a pain in the ass. She's always busting my friggin' agates. My daughter's married to a drool loser bastard. I got a rash so bad on my ass, I can't even sit down. You know me, I can't complain. Oh, fucking A, man. I got a rash.
And how many times did we see him? Like six?
Yeah, several times. That's punchline.
And he was always cool to, because this is when Jeff and I got to hang out upstairs. So we got to talk to the comics a lot.
I think they filmed that in 2017, yeah, that comedy special.
Because they tore down their casino that he filmed it in.
So he's been retired for a few years. Oh, wow. Now.
So he must be. Okay.
Mine's Platonic. Came back for season two on Apple TV, the Seth Rogen show. Season one was great. Looking forward to season two. Hmm. It's based on that movie that he did with Rose Byrne, and they're both in it.
I like Rose Byrne.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Yeah, you should watch it. And season one of the show was really good, too.
Okay.
Check it out.
Let's see. My staff pick is, again, built, trying to get my 4K collection up. Prisoners of the Ghostland came out in 4K. Now, this is a Nick Cage movie that he definitely made because he needed the money.
Yeah.
But it's like they use the same plot, basically, as Escape from New York. He shows up. They strap explosives to him and tell him that he's got to go rescue a girl. Asian Mad Max is what it looks like, because everything, I guess they shot it in.
Don't set me up like that if we can't make a joke about it.
But it's a good movie. I mean, it's fun. It's one of those movies of his that no one else would have been able to make the movie and pull it off but him.
Right.
Me and Al watched The Outsiders.
The original?
Yeah, the original.
As I stepped out into the bright sunlight from the darkness of the movie house. Love that movie. I've watched that so many times.
Yeah. It's got a great soundtrack, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Except for that Stevie Wonder song.
Ease upon the moment long ago. One step away and there you will be. Far as you see.
Something like that.
I wish they'd let Waits weigh in on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Figure he'll be reading it soon. So showed it to him. He loved it.
That is
it was a fun watch.
Isn't that what he says? Dallas sleeping.
Yeah.
Let's do it for Johnny.
Johnny killed the social. Oh, all right. Good for you. Come on in. Pony boy, are you wet? I
love you. Hey, I'm back, Mr. Sam Elliott. And I want to talk to you about one of the places I like to go whenever I'm in the Atlanta area, called Atlanta Pizza and Gyro. And they've proudly been serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is a place to be this summer. I don't know if they have Coors. Coors is a banquet beer. But they are featuring three tavern breweries, a night on Ponce. That's an IPA, and it's now available on draft. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro has the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Family-owned and operated, independent restaurants are a dying breed. And Atlanta Pizza and Gyro continues to be a local favorite, serving the east side of Atlanta for over 30 years. Hey, Mike's food truck is out and about, so if you see the food truck, run up. Contact Mike at 770-483-6228 if you're interested in booking the food truck for your corporate or private event. Tuesday nights, they got team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. Hey, they're open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9. Saturdays, 12 to 9. They're closed on Sunday, which is Lord's Day, dude.
Another fine sponsor of Radio Labyrinth is LDI Repro Printing. Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
We love your comments on our YouTube page, and we like to read them. Thank you to everybody who posted them. Jones wrote, happy belated, Dustin. Very accurate assessment of Ozzy. The soundtrack of my childhood leaves with him.
Agreed.
Thank you, Jones. Christopher Coker says, glad you made it around the sun for the 50th time, Dustin, and may you have many more trips to come. Happy birthday, brother. 50 times here as well. Peace, Rad Lab. Squatch Talk says, suspension? I was wondering what was going on. Yeah, that was Jeff's epic trolling about what was wrong with Eric. It was not suspended. Chris also says, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T were good friends, so I find it hard to believe that he was some intense racist, but I could be wrong. Well, not a wrestling fan either. R.I.P. Hulk, R.I.P. Theo, R.I.P. Ozzy. Who's Theo?
Huxtable.
Malcolm.
Yeah, Theo Huxtable.
Sorry. Sorry, Chris. And I thought Justin Timberlake. And I thought Justin Timberlake had Lyme disease. Also thought the good genes thing was a spiff on genes, which it was. I should have read this before I started reading it because I screwed up a lot. And that's not Chris's fault. That's mine. Kevin Jackson says, I loved Happy Gilmore, too. I'm also not ashamed to admit that I love it because it's 100% fan service. Hooray. I agree. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I'm a fan and I love to be serviced. I say that all the time to people. It almost never works to make an updated for modern audiences legacy sequel. Just saw the awesome soft reboot to Naked Gun, and it seemed to know its audience. There you go, Jeff. And that's why lesbians impregnating each other with the power of love didn't sit well with the 50-year-old Star Wars crowd. I should read these before I read them, but we'll leave it in anyway. It's a new era. Woke is dead. We had a couple of polls up last week. What is the most iconic Happy Gilmore moment? Coming in third was the Bob Barker fight, which is strange to me, at 8%. 19% said the Shooter McGavin trash talk, and 73% also adjacent to the Bob Barker fight was the price is wrong, bitch. What did you think of Happy Gilmore 2 on Netflix? Wow, this surprised me. Third place, 16% said meh, it had its moments. 36% said, loved it, Shooter forever. And then at 48%, which is the majority, said, haven't watched it yet.
Hmm.
That's strange.
Hmm. Why not?
Well, I think you should watch it.
Yeah, it's good TV.
Where's the earth-shattering kaboom?
All right, thank you.
This week on Text Impressions by Tim, we're keeping it with our theme, and it's going to be Hank Hill.
This one comes from Jeff.
Well, I'll tell you what. I never left propane, and propane never left me. But being back on TV, that just feels right. Like a perfectly grilled steak on a clean burning flame.
By the way, the promo for that Hulu did with Theo Vaughn was funny. Did you see that?
Yeah.
This one's from Liz.
Well, I tell you what. I appreciate y'all watching the new King of the Hill. But sitting on your couch for 12 hours straight just ain't natural. A man needs to get up, stretch his legs, maybe check his propane tank, mow the lawn. You can't just let life pass you by while you're watching me try to parent Bobby again.
And from Dustin.
I tell you what, propane's propane. But over there in Saudi Arabia, they don't even grill with it half the time. And don't get me started on the dress code. I wear shorts once, and a camel gave me the stink eye.
Those were good. Thank you, guys. All right. Before we do plugs and wrap up and everything, we want to dedicate this episode of Radio Labyrinth to Jeff Lyle. Jeff Lyle has been a loyal listener of ours since the show began. He always contributed on social media, and He came out.
Yeah, came out to all the events.
All the events. And I was just talking to him on, you know, in the last week of July. We were talking about stuff. He was talking about me filling in and how much he enjoyed Radio Labyrinth and how much he enjoyed Trambles and kind of picking up on what I was talking about in my long-winded radio episode. And, you know, he was always inviting me to bring Gilbert out to see his animals and stuff. And he was just such a super nice guy. And it's just very sad. And so we want to dedicate the show to him. And if you guys want to say anything, feel free.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was a real good guy. He worked.
He was an EMT, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wheelhouse where they keep all the ambulances was right down the street from my shop where I work. And so every morning for years, we would wave at each other because we just happened to pass each other as we were going out. It's sad to lose somebody that, and so fast. I mean, it was I guess strokes come when you least expect them. And, I hate that it was something that he couldn't get past, and he'll be missed.
He will be, definitely. And he had so many friends.
Oh, yeah.
I'm new here. I will say I've heard he's a really nice guy, and he's a big fan. And I have been praying for him and his family since I heard, so.
We wanted to dedicate the show to Jeff, and I don't really know what to say beyond that other than, you know, he was just a great guy. And he will definitely be missed. Hey, let's do some plugs and get out of here. Trambles is a show that I do in the audio feed of Radio Labyrinth. Characters and new stuff that I debuted something this week about. I'm going to start talking about the year and a half I spent in a town called Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. That's the weirdest year of my life. It was a transition between moving here and where I grew up. And I was all alone, so I made a lot of weird use of that time.
That was the year you started transitioning into me?
Yep. Yes, that's right. I thought you meant you, but you meant me with six E's. You have to say six E's, Rob. And so you can get that in the wherever you get podcasts. Also, I do a radio show on WSB every week called The Popcast, and that airs at 7 o'clock if you're in Atlanta on WSB 95.5 FM. Or you can just listen on the WSB radio app or get it as a podcast. My most recent episode, I did radio segments with Brian Troxell and John Babcock from Sketchworks, but inside of the full interview is where I did those. So you get the full unedited interview, and we had a lot of fun talking about pop culture and stuff. Those guys are great. They're very funny. Check out Sketchworks.com.
Is Vape coming back to Atlanta?
No update on Vape, really, but they're doing a bunch of shows this fall at their theater. But they just came in to plug their upcoming fall, you know, the four shows that they're putting on.
Oh, cool.
You can support Radio Labyrinth by becoming a Patreon member. Go to patreon.com/ Tim Andrews. Jeff just designed a new sticker for us that I'm going to have printed up. And once it's ready, we'll share it. And just go there and check it out. I don't really like begging for money.
Please.
No. But you can sign up at any level and have access to the Radios in the Dark show. You can also become a Radio Labyrinth producer. And that's only $25 a month. And when you sign up, you immediately get a T-shirt and all sorts of things. You can contribute to text impressions by Tim. There's all sorts of things you can do. And just go check it out. I want to thank our producer. But the most important thing is you keep us going. And you are an executive producer of this show. So thank you very much to John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton. You see, I'm doing the TikTok chick thing where my fingers are going out. I got to stop doing that. Tim Slayton and Brian and Chelsea Smith. Remember, if you're just listening to us on your favorite podcatcher, leave a comment, leave a review, like Spotify and stuff. We usually see them, and if we do, we'll read them, and we appreciate that. So without anything else to say, I will say, keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.